There's some new reporting in on the air disaster in D.C. Let's talk right now to News Nation national security contributor, former Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, and a veteran pilot, an experienced one at that, Lieutenant General Richard Newton. General, good morning. Let's talk first about this story concerning an eerily similar near miss in D.C. just 24 hours before that deadly crash. What do we know about that?
Yes, good morning, Bob. As certainly the investigation is ongoing, and while we're in the midst of recovering bodies from the Potomac River, what we're starting to hear are incidents, and you just related to one that perhaps occurred 24 hours or so ago. I want our listeners to understand that the Washington, D.C., the National Capital Region, think of it in and around 25 to 50 miles of the nation's capital. It's perhaps the most dense, highly congested from an airspace standpoint, and complex area to operate aircraft. And so you'll have a number of incidents, and I'm not excusing these incidents at all. It's just a matter of the densely packed, high volume of air traffic that not only is commercial aircraft going in and out of Reagan International Airport. For instance, there were already, before that incident occurred at approximately 8:53 p.m. the other evening, there had already been 700 takeoffs and landings out of Reagan Airport that day. And so it's a very busy airport, but it's also a very busy, high-volume area for specifically helicopter traffic for certainly the United States Army. The Air Force operates special helicopters there, as well as Marine One operates Marine helicopters in support of the White House and so forth. So there are incidents that occur, and you underscore the one that, like I mentioned, about 24 hours or so ago. But these incidents don't necessarily lead to the tragic events we had the other evening. So it just it really sets a great context, though, for what happened the other evening.
I've always heard that there's an ongoing debate, and there has been for years there in the Washington, D.C. area. The lawmakers, of course, for convenience, they want to be able to fly in and out of there from their home districts. But pilots have complained about how busy it is there, haven't they?
Yeah, there's a really good Wall Street Journal piece that came out last evening that talks about and they quote the jam-packed airspace, which has really prompted a lot of warnings from, you know, Federal Aviation, Department of Transportation, so forth. And then you've got members of Congress who, I've flown in and out of Reagan a number of times, and it is more convenient to get in and out of Reagan from those who serve in the nation's capital. Vice going out to Dulles Airport, International Airport, which is, you know, several miles away to the west. That will probably come under review. Mm-hmm. As the air has increased out of Reagan, that's made it even more complex in terms of that dense airspace that you and I talked about at the top of the conversation. So that'll be part of, I'm sure, even more extensive review is the volume of air traffic out of Reagan and how much more volume, number of takeoffs and landings, literally, can Reagan Airport accept, you know, until you get more of these incidents and hopefully avoid future tragedies.
We've been hearing the recording of the exchange between the tower and the pilots. And one thing I keep hearing, and I don't know that anybody has really explained this, hopefully you can, the line, request visual separation. I think that was the helicopter pilot asking the tower, request visual separation. What does that mean?
What that means is you've got, first off, the Army helicopter was appropriately operating in the vicinity of Reagan International Airport, or Reagan National Airport, on a prescribed route and was to be at a prescribed altitude. They've been doing this for years. And when they operate, as they get closer and closer to Reagan Airport, you've got, obviously, the American Eagle aircraft was in position to land on runway 33. As the helicopter is approaching Reagan, the air traffic controller at the tower acknowledges to the helicopter, as well as to the American Eagle crew, that they are alerting them to each other that they've got traffic, and that traffic is, for the American Eagle, it's the helicopter, and for the helicopter, it's the American Eagle flight on short final. And so the traffic controller acknowledged the traffic of the other aircraft, and the helicopter acknowledged that they, and then this is a little bit my informed conjecture at this point without having been on the, in the investigative team, that they acknowledged the sighting, their visual of the American Eagle flight on final approach. Hmm. And I believe the American Eagle flight might have acknowledged them also. So now the onus on to see and avoid that traffic, in this case the helicopter, avoiding the American Eagle flight on short final at Reagan, that's now the responsibility of the air crew. And so they acknowledged that. And again, I want to underscore this to our listeners. This is my informed conjecture. We've got to let the National Transportation Safety Board, FAA, and the United States Army to conduct these investigations. But it could have been the case where the Army helicopter may have misidentified that airline on final, and there was supposedly an airplane taking off at Reagan and so forth. That's conjecture. Mm-hmm. We'll know more once we get like data recorders, we get the voice recorders, which the National Transportation Safety Board has for the American Eagle flight. But that's why you're hearing this acknowledgement between the helicopter in Reagan Tower and American Eagle flight in Reagan Tower that they will see and avoid that other traffic. That other traffic happens to be for the helicopter what they think is, or what the tower thinks is, the American Eagle flight.
In that new video that's been released of the collision, it looks like the helicopter hit the American Eagle flight from the side. Is that how it looked to you?
It does. It appears to be that. And again, to put in context, to make sure, again, our listeners understand, the helicopter should be operating at a hard altitude of no higher than 200 feet in the vicinity of Reagan National Airport. As you come down the Potomac River, then once you get into this area, it starts at the Francis Scott Key Bridge, down the Potomac River where the airplane's flying to the south. The American Eagle flight is just past Wilson Bridge to the south, flying north into Reagan. And so the American Eagle flight is at about 375 feet when the midair occurs. The Army helicopter should have been, it's a very hard altitude, at 200 feet. Therefore, you get that vertical separation, Bob. That, again, helicopters and airliners have been operating this area, this very tight airspace, literally where the collision occurred for years. And so that is still to be understood why the helicopter may not have been operating at its prescribed hard deck altitude of no higher than 200 feet. We'll know more of how that occurred or why that happened.
In the case of the plane and the helicopter, isn't there a collision avoidance system in the cockpit? What do you call it? TCAS?
Yeah, it's TCAS. It's called the Traffic Collision Avoidance System. And it's most effective at about 1,000 feet or above. Once you get below 1,000 feet, say in and around 700 feet, the TCAS will, and that is only active in the American Eagle Flight 5342's cockpit. And it's very effective as I mentioned, 1,000 feet above the ground. But once you get below that, you don't really want the TCAS system to alert the pilot to make avoidance maneuvers because it's at a lower altitude. Therefore, the TCAS system is certainly much less effective, and it's not used below those lower altitudes. So it would not have been any assistance at all to the American Eagle crew at that point leading up to the collision.
One more question for you this morning. Once they complete the investigation and make recommendations, and as you point out, that's going to be a long time before that happens, but as far as the FAA is concerned, what power does the FAA have to enact new rules and new regulations? How does that work?
It does. It really will start with the National Transportation Safety Board. They are leading the probe, the investigation. And they will also be assisted by the FAA and certainly the United States Army because, again, I'm a trained Air Force Safety Investigation Board member. Anytime an accident occurs within the military, the service that's responsible for the aircraft will conduct an investigation of its own as well. And they will come down and they will determine what the root causes are, Bob, as well as the number of contributing factors. I understand the NTSB has stated that they're going to try to get out a preliminary report within 30 days, but it could take up to a year to get the final report. But however, once if there are new revelations that occur during the investigation itself, if there's things that they need to make changes immediately, those will be put out to the broader aviation community. And so, again, I want to underscore to our listeners, my wife and I, we flew in on American Airlines flight last night, coming home here to South Florida. The safest aspect of certainly travel for me and for my lifetime has been through aviation, through airline aviation. And again, that's where I'm highly, highly confident we will get down to the root cause and those contributing factors. That's on the shoulders of the NTSB, but it will be supported by, as you mentioned, the FAA and in this case, the United States Army. All the air crews involved here, all the air crew members were highly experienced, were actually used to operating in complex airspaces and so forth. That's why we want to get down to what were they procedural, were they human factors. I don't think weather was a factor in this case, but night could have been obviously a factor with use of night vision goggles from the Army helicopter crew, and all those factors will be determined, and the American people will be informed, and we will be a better aviation nation, I think, unfortunately, as a result of this accident, and you'll see changes made appropriately.
Mm-hmm. Lieutenant General Richard Newton, we are grateful for your expertise. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, Bob.